You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.
Hello and welcome to what is sure to be another riveting episode of our podcast series, PGIM India Insights. I'm Mahalia, wishing all of you a very happy new year. And as we step into the new year, you know, it's always a good time to pause and reflect on where we are and how we got here. That applies to the Indian economy as well. At this point in time, the Indian economy presents a picture of resilience, supported by strong macroeconomic fundamentals. A multitude of factors like increased digitalization, formalization of the economy, decoupling from China, and policy reforms are helping India's economy grow at a fast clip. Clearly, India is set to remain the growth leader in this year as well. And if you're the kind of person that needs numbers to believe it, well, we have numbers. UPI transactions hit 18.23 lakh crores in December 2023, 54% higher than December 2022. In fact, the number of UPI transactions reached 12.02 billion, witnessing a 42% growth over the previous year. Production-linked incentive schemes is set to enhance India's manufacturing capabilities and exports. And India has improved substantially in the World Bank's Doing Business rankings from 142 in 2014 to 63 in 2019. The rising per capita GDP in India is set to open up a host of new opportunities for investors across a wide range of sectors. And India is estimated to become the third largest economy by 2030. So there's a lot to unpack, and that's what we're doing on today's episode. We have with us Aniruddha Naha, CIO, Alternates, PGIM India Asset Management, chatting with Ankit Jain from PGIM India Mutual Fund about these opportunities. Listen in.
It was 1991-1992 where India had forex reserves of less than $1 billion, which could suffice for only 15 days of import cover. We had to pledge our gold to IMF for a loan, and from there, we are here today at $609 billion of forex reserves, which can easily cover 13-14 months of import cover and one of the fastest growing economy. It really has been a long way for India. Welcome to the PGIM India Insights. You are listening to Ankit Jain, and I have with me Mr. Aniruddha Naha, CIO of PGIM India Alternates, who will be sharing with us his thoughts on emerging trends in the market. So Aniruddha, before we talk about the emerging trends, I wanted your thoughts that, India is now the fastest growing economy in the world. In fact, our second quarter GDP print came at 7%. So what, according to you, has happened in the last 7-8 years that from fragile floor economy, we have been one of the most resilient economy? And if you can, take us through that whole journey.
Sure. So thank you for this, Ankit. And I think what has happened over the last, there have been certain big reforms which have taken place, clearly. And that has facilitated the change that has taken place in the overall perception of how India is going to do. Starting with, let's say, GST implementation, which has happened, the UPI payment systems backed by Aadhaar. Aadhaar and UPI itself are two big revolutionary changes which have happened. Then you've got, the CAPEX recovery cycle, which has taken off. And this is largely been a shift of, from consumption towards more manufacturing, where it has largely been driven by clean balance sheets across in the Indian economy. Mm-hmm. And the PLI scheme that the government has focused towards bringing in manufacturing within the country. So these are some of the big changes which have happened over the last, half a decade, let's say, which has helped India move out of the fragile four that we were called. And today, probably one of the strongest economies standing out there.
Sure, sure. Aniruddha, in fact, I remember that once upon a time, it used to take 2 to 3 days to send money to somebody, whether it is your client or relative. And today we have UPI where within a second money reaches the, beneficiary. So I can actually resonate what you're mentioning about the kind of reforms you've taken. So taking this discussion, ahead, how have corporate profits and balance sheets have been in the last 7-8 years? If you can highlight that.
Sure. See, over the last few years, the balance sheet profile of corporate India has changed for the better. There is absolutely no doubt on that. The corporate debt to GDP has come down and the balance sheets have cleaned up significantly. Even the asset quality profile of the banking system is clean and the system is very well capitalized. This reduces the overall vulnerability of the corporate and banking sector and basically improves the resilience of the economy. What this does is it, in the overall global markets, a resilient balance sheet across segments reduces the overall beta of India to the emerging markets and reduces our dependence on global capital flows also. In fact, this situation should actually encourage more capital flows coming into the country.
Yeah, in fact, we've been hearing that India is trading at a premium to emerging market, but the reason why it is trading at premium to emerging market is because the fundamentals are so strong. So,
right.
Anirudh, also, you know, what with all the reforms which happened in the last, 5-7 years, what are the new emerging sectors you think which should do well in the, future?
So, see, the government has consistently tried to revive the manufacturing sector, through incentives like the PLI schemes. It has also borne the mantle to go ahead and do capital expenditure. You know, at one point of time, the private sector wasn't very keen. It was basically the government took it on itself to build infra, railway, and spend on the defense sector. The private sector today is very well positioned to, take over the mantle because they have got clean balance sheets, good, strong cash flows, and their own capacity utilizations are pretty high. And when you've got clean balance sheets, strong cash flows and capacity utilizations high, you will invariably see a capex cycle which will pick up. In light of this, basically, the capex announcement from the private sector continues to be very strong. We see these benefits of the PLI schemes and the private sector push to expand sectors. This has helped push capex across electronics, consumer durables, semiconductors, auto ancillary, cement, textiles, chemicals. So the capex part of it is resonating across sectors, and that is what makes us positive. I think all these sectors which participate in capex today should be a beneficiary going ahead in terms of the kind of growth in sales top line as well as profitability.
Sure. I remember buying an iPhone 7-8 years back. It used to not be made in India, and today, if you go to a Apple store and you want to buy even the latest iPhone, it is made in India. So I can completely resonate what you're trying to say, that, the PLI schemes and electronics have actually kicked off, and you can actually see on ground, work is happening in a big way. So, taking our discussion one more leg ahead, what would you say, how digitization is helping small and medium businesses?
This is very interesting, actually. See, what has happened in India, the availability of cheap internet services, the seeding of Aadhaar and the UPI system, it has opened up the full market to companies even in the mid and small cap segment. Basically, the government has launched the ONDC. Now, it has been a reason, it's started becoming a success. And as this happens over a period of time, a company which has a good product or service to offer can suddenly realize that the whole country could be its own market. So our belief is conventional selling and distribution channels could get challenged as the market opens up, frankly speaking. So I'll give you an anecdotal example, something which will probably start resonating across the country. I was in Coimbatore and we met a couple of doctors out there. And a large part of the clientele actually happens to be in the Western world or across the country, not too much out of that. What has enabled it is basically the Aadhaar system, the UPI system and low internet costs. So telemedicine is probably one of the fallouts of this digitization that we are talking about. We believe the next 10 years are going to be reasonably disruptive in terms of how digitization and technology will change the landscape of how business is conducted.
Sure. In fact, Ani, you know, we had our colleagues who had come from US a month back and they asked here that, how much do you pay for internet service in India? I told him I pay anywhere between $5 to $6 and he was shocked. He said, boss, I'm paying $50 in US. So I completely resonate what you're saying, that, the cheap internet services enabled small businesses to explore, the entire world as their market. One thing which we've been reading over the last 2-3 quarters now is that, India has crossed the $2,000 per capita GDP. So from here on, what do you think incremental per capita addition will help which part of the economy?
Sure. Before going into the answer, let me give you an anecdotal example. During my days, when I moved to Hong Kong between 2010 and 12, we were going out grocery shopping for the first time. And we were surprised. There were actually 16 odd kinds of different kinds of Colgate toothpastes. From a single brand is what I wanted to say. And that is when you realize, beyond your basic needs, a simple consumer staple kind of a business can also be broken down to make it look discretionary in nature. I think India's journey of discretionary consumption is the journey from probably 4 or 5 kinds of Colgate toothpaste that we see today to about 15, 16 over the next decade. Wow. So to answer your questions, you know, with per capita GDP moving up, you will see people spending more on different kinds of segments like vacationing, eating out, clothing, footwear, liquor, two-wheelers, four-wheelers, jewelry, footwear. So our sense is any segment without which life carries on. But people will spend just because they have the money to go ahead and spend out there. And so over the next 10, 15 years, I think India will emerge as, you know, a lot stronger and a larger economy. And this segment should do fairly well. There is also a sub-segment where we believe post-COVID, you know, discretionary spends have actually picked up a lot. And that is healthcare. I think people are conscious about the quality of life that they want to lead. And this is forcing people to go ahead and, you know, get themselves checked up at a more regular interval. So that is another segment that should do well.
I think I'm with you on that as well, you know, because once you earn something more than what you already do today, you know, your roti, kapda and makan is taken care. So incremental, obviously, whatever you will earn, but it will either go in savings or spending. So discretionary spending, and we have been seeing, especially around us, you know, that it is at a boom. I mean, be it during Diwali time or during, you know, the e-commerce sale, the numbers are always 20-30% higher than the previous year. So I can completely understand what you're saying. But, you know, Anirudh, these are all good things and positive things. But what do you think are the risks you see in the near to medium term, you know, which can derail this entire, you know, medium term, I would say, story? Maybe in the long run, this would not affect. But in the medium term, what do you think, which can shock the markets?
See, Ankit, where India is positioned in terms of its balance sheets, etc., and the kind of cash flow generation, the kind of utilization, it is very difficult to find an India-centric risk. The only major risk in the overall India story is if crude oil crosses the triple digit mark. You know, higher crude oil prices will have invariably lead to inflation and pressure on the twin deficits. Other than that, I think so, frankly, you know, there were earlier used to be concerns with regards to capital availability, the external position, the ease of doing business. But these have largely, you know, tapered off. And other than crude oil, frankly speaking, spiking beyond $100, we do not foresee any major risks to the India story as of now.
Sure. I think with the whole, you know, world focusing on climate change, hopefully, maybe 2, 3, 4 decades later, even crude moving up and down won't be a concern. But yeah, I understand, since we import 80% of our crude requirement, that is a concern if things, you know, turn north. So thanks, Anirudh. In fact, I would just like to summarize for our listeners, and you can also add something at the end. So 5 important things, which are the key takeaways, I would say, from our today's discussion. There are big reforms like UPI, GST, private sector capex and PLI, which has made our economy very resilient. Second, corporate balance sheets have been deleveraged, and this has actually reduced the overall beta of India within the whole emerging market pack. Third, new emerging trends in sectors where digitization have broken all the past distribution channels. Now, a client sitting here can actually service anywhere and anybody in the whole globe. Fourth, we've crossed $2,000 per capita GDP, so discretionary spending has picked up, and there are companies which are into liquor, 2 and 4 wheelers, jewelers, clothing, footwear, travel and healthcare, which should do well. And the only risk which we see near term, which can shock the market, is if, you know, there are geopolitical tensions which crop up, crude prices go up, that can derail the whole story a bit. But otherwise, as a domestic story, it looks very, very strong. I hope, Anirudh, I've summarized it pretty well for our listeners.
Yeah, Ankit, absolutely fine. We continue to remain reasonably positive on how India will play out over the next 5 years. And any correction into the markets would be a good opportunity to go ahead and build long-term portfolios.
Great. Thank you, Anirudh, for sharing your thoughts on emerging trends in the market today. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on PGM India Insights. I will catch you on the next podcast soon.
Well, I have to commend myself on picking the right word. I think riveting is very apt. 2024, the new year, brings with it hope and excitement. And turns out there's a lot of exciting opportunities for the country and its growing market. That was a deep dive into some complex factors making progress happen within the Indian markets. I hope all of you enjoyed this episode of PGIM India Insights. With that, we wrap today's episode. We'll catch you very soon on another one. But here's wishing all of you a very happy new year.
You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.